Okay, well, if you would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. It's where we're going to start. As I mentioned earlier, I was looking at a number of things regarding grace. And I ran into this word. And I looked at some of the places where it's used and got real blessed with it. It's a word that is translated strong. It's translated strengthened. It's translated to increase in strength. It's also translated enabled. And the Greek word is endunamao. Endunamao. N is in. So it really means, literally, in strength. Or in strengthening. It's kind of neat, isn't it? And we're going to see some of the different contexts that it's used in, because when we hear strength, we may think of different things. It can be strength in a number of things, right? We know that our God is a strong God, right? Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to see in some of the contexts that we're going to look at where this word is used. And it's interesting where this strengthening came from. And then we're encouraged to do some things in light of this. So we're going to start here in Romans 4. This is not its first use, but I did want to look at this one. In Romans 4, and you guys are familiar with this chapter, we're going to go back a little bit, but I wanted to read verse 20, because this is where that word is used. And it's regarding Abraham, and it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong or strengthened in the believing, giving glory to God. He was strong or strengthened in the believing. I want to go back to verse 13. We're going to pick it up there. This is one of those chapters where it's hard to pick a starting point. But verse 13, it says, for the promise that he, regarding Abraham, should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of believing. For if they which are of the law be heirs, the believing, is how it should read, is made void, and the promise made of none effect. But the law works wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of believing, that it might be by what? Grace. By grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the believing of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And that's the father of us all who believe. Okay, he's the father of believing, hence he is the father of all who what?
Believe.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, or in the presence of him, whom he believed, even God, which quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they what? As though they were. Who against hope, believed in hope, or upon hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, you can read about this back in Genesis 15. We're not going to take the time. But what we're talking about here, in a nutshell, is believing. It's the believing. There was a promise made to Abraham. And it was regarding a son. But this promise was bigger than he would just simply have a son that would come out of his loins. It was regarding the Christ. The Christ would come out of Abraham. That's the seed. Do you understand? And that's what he believed. He believed on this Redeemer. As a matter of fact, maybe on our way to the next one in Hebrews, we'll take a look at something, you know, regarding this. But Abraham, he believed God. That's the believing that it's talking about. And it's the believing regarding the Christ. Okay? Who against hope believed upon hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And that which was spoken by God. And being not weak in the believing, he considered his own body, is how it should read those other words, not and now or not in the text. He considered his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham wasn't stupid. He was aware. He was aware he couldn't have kids anymore. Right? Who made the promise?
God.
That's right, God did. And he was strong in that word, and he was strengthened by that word. And he was strengthened by his believing in what God had said. Okay? Verse 20, he staggered not. He staggered not. You know what this word staggered is? It's translated in the word diakrino. Diakrino. And you know what diakrino means? It means to set apart so as to discern or to judge. Yeah. Right. He staggered. He didn't set the promise of God off here and judge it. He just simply accepted it. Do you understand? Yeah. The fact said, you can't have a son. That's what the fact said. He couldn't have a son. His wife couldn't have children anymore. You get it? But God said, you're going to what? Right. And Abraham was strengthened by that and strong in that. Do you understand? Isn't that beautiful? He staggered not at the promise of God. But he was strong in the believing because God had made a promise. That seed's coming out of you. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to what? Perform. And therefore it, that believing, was imputed or counted, put to his account, to him for what? Righteousness. See? Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It wasn't just for Abraham. But for what? For us also. See? To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Isn't that something? If we believe on him. And that believing on him is believing his word. It's believing that word that comes out of his mouth. And we stagger not at what God's word says, like our father Abraham. He was strong in that believing and strengthened by it. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And on the way, we're going to go to verse 32, but on the way, we're going to make a quick pit stop in verse 17 of Hebrews 11. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11, still speaking of Abraham. By believing Abraham, when he was tried, and that word tried is the word proved, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten. This was the son that the fact said he couldn't have, but he had. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to what? Raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure or a parable, a symbolic comparison. It was a symbolic comparison. The seed was coming out of Isaac. That promised seed, the Christ, would come out of Isaac. Abraham knew that. And this is speaking of that time at Mount Moriah when he took Isaac, was going to offer him. And Abraham did that knowing that even if Isaac died, God would have to get him up from the dead. He'd have to. So as far as Abraham was concerned, his son was as good as dead. That's why it says in a parable and a figure, he received his only begotten son, just as God in the future would. So when you read where the gospel was preached to Abraham, the gospel was preached to Abraham. He got it. See? Isn't that something? Father of believing, and he was strong in it. It's used down here in Hebrews also, down in verse, let's start in 32. By believing, the harlot Rahab, she was an innkeeper, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through believing, again, this is its context, it's believing subdued kingdoms. See? Through believing, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were what? Out of weakness were made strong. See? That's something. Who made them strong? God made them strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You know, how many times did God fight on behalf of Israel? See? Or a given man at times. You know, a record comes to mind where Jonathan did some pretty tremendous things. David, he wasn't too shabby. Right? See, and God did these things. Out of weakness. Isn't that something? Out of weakness we're made what?
Strong.
We're made strong. See? God is in that business. God is in the business of making strong out of weakness. That's what he's in the business of. Let's go to 1 Timothy. And this is sort of what got me looking at this, because I was looking at this first chapter. We actually looked at this a few weeks back. But these next few places where it's used regard Paul. It's something. In verse 11, he talks about that glorious gospel that was committed. I'm sorry, chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 11, he talks about that glorious gospel which was committed to his trust. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. That word enabled is this word. He was who strengthened me or made me strong. He made me strong. That's what the Lord did for Paul. And then it goes on to talk about his past and how he was a model of grace and of mercy. There's a verse in here where it talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the English Standard Version translated as, "It showered me, it overflowed." That's what it meant. See, because Paul was a man who hated Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus Christ, and he hated anything having to do with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ called him, and it was Jesus Christ that strengthened him. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go back to that time in Acts chapter 9, where this is the first place it's used, which is kind of interesting. Acts chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in 15. You guys are familiar with this record, I think. It's Paul was on the way to Damascus. Great light shone. The other guys, they could hear a voice. By the way, that hearing, they didn't understand what was being said. They couldn't understand the words. It was like, but they could hear a voice. They just couldn't hear what was being said. Paul heard what was being said. And it was Jesus Christ. And he was told to go to Damascus. And go to, boom, boom, sir, plate. They led him by the hand. He was blind. Okay. Well, Ananias, who is a disciple, got revelation. Jesus Christ appeared to him and said, "Look, you need to go talk to this guy." And Ananias said, "Whoa, let's back this bus up. You know who this guy is?" It's kind of a silly question. "Yeah, I know who he is." "You need to go." Okay? And it's really something because Jesus Christ had showed Paul that a man would come to him and lay hands on him. Paul was blind. And when he got his sight back, the first thing he saw was that man. That's something. And anyway, quite a record. But the Lord said unto him in verse 15, he's talking to Ananias here, "Go your way. He," talking about Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And man, did he. "For I will show him how great or how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, he said, "Brother." You know what that means? He was already born again. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. That is not our word. That's a totally different word. He ate and was strengthened. He'd gone without food. "Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ." That should read Jesus here. The text, I think, reads Jesus. "He preached Jesus in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, 'Whoa, isn't it this the guy that destroyed them which called on this name and came hither for that intent?'" That's why he's here. "That he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. And Saul increased the more in" what? "In strength." Now look at this. He increased the more in strength. That's our word. That's our word. And it wasn't because he was eating good. The context is, he increased in strength and what? Put on weight. No, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this was Christ. Isn't that something? He was strengthened. What was he strengthened? What was he strengthened in? He was strengthened in believing. He was strengthened in understanding. He was able to go to the scriptures and demonstrate, prove, lay it out. This is the Christ. This is him. As a matter of fact, He got so strong, they wanted to kill him. And he had to leave. Isn't that something? Because he was making known Christ. See, he was strengthened. Isn't that something? Now, we know from other places in the Word where Jesus Christ himself was the one that taught Paul. Yeah. That's what it talks about. You know, he ends up taking off and spending a few years in Arabia, I think it is. It's quite a record. But he was strengthened, and the result of that strengthening was nobody could stand up to him in terms of what he knew from what he was able to put together from the Scriptures. Let's go to, here's a familiar one, right? This again is Paul. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read this, and then I want to read to you. I typed up the ESV version of this. It's just kind of neat. I really enjoy it. But in King James it says, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 11, we're going to start. Keep getting ahead of myself here. Not that I speak, in verse 11, in respect of want. He's thanking them. They had sent a gift. He's imprisoned here. And they had sent him a gift, these saints. And he was very thankful for that. But he was thankful because of their heart and because God would bless them for their giving. See, he wasn't speaking in respect of want. And here's why. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which what?
Strengthens
me. The ESV reads, beginning in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know both how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. That's something?
That's cool.
That was the secret. Didn't matter. Didn't matter what the circumstance was. He was going to move God's word. He would be fine. See, the secret was Christ. It would be Christ who would strengthen him. Isn't that something? Not a secret anymore. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, Paul never stopped relying on that. This is the end of the last of the writings of the Apostle Paul. And at this point, his primary concern was preservation of the Scripture. He was a prisoner, again, at the time of this writing. And in verse 17, well, look at verse 16. At my first, it should read defense. The word answer is it's apologia. It's defense. At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Boy, that's something, huh? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He didn't abandon me. And what? He strengthened me. See? Sometimes, you know, people that stand with you and help you, you can draw strength from that. But it's not what you want to rely on. Because people come and go. They just do. They just do. Here, this wonderful, incredible man that had done so much for the move of God's word, had blessed so many, had nobody to stand with. But who stood with him? That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ stood with him. And he strengthened him. Isn't that something? He stood with me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's right. The Lord strengthened him. He relied on his Lord. He relied on Jesus Christ, his Lord. Now, let's go to Ephesians. We're almost done. Two more places where this is used, both of which I think are very familiar to us. But and it picks up in verse 10.
What's happening?
What, God didn't tell you? Come on. I've been testing you this whole morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren is not in the text. It just reads, finally, or henceforth, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word strong, that's that word. And dunamao. Be in strengthened or be strengthened in. And most translations translate this, be strengthened. Be strengthened in the Lord. And in the power of what?
His might.
See. So, our being strengthened or being strong in the Lord will have to do with in the Lord. See? It's not of ourselves. It's right. In the Lord. That's where that strength that's being spoken of is. In the Lord. See? Out of weakness we're made what? Exactly. Exactly. See. So it's going to talk about this in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world or this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places or from on high. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It manifests itself in the physical, but it's spiritual. That's why to stand, we're going to need to be strong in who? In the Lord. See? And what he has provided, what he has supplied. I'm not going to be strong in myself against spiritual wickedness. You're kidding yourself. Wherefore, take unto you or take up the whole armor of God. And, you know, you may be able, or so that you are able, is a better translation, so that you are able to withstand in the evil day, or in the day of the wicked. And having done all, to what? Stand. See? To stand. It's strengthened in him, in the Lord. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what's the truth? It's whatever you think. I have my truth, you have yours, right? No, God's word is what's true. That's the truth. You know, when Jesus Christ summed up his time with his men, he said, I've given them thy word. Thy word is truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Boy, isn't that something? That breastplate of righteousness. You know, it protects that vital area of the chest. It's kind of an interesting analogy because, boy, once you start looking at yourself, once you start acting or seeing things outside of that righteousness that you have in Christ, you're in trouble. You're going to have a tough go. See? Those things that I need to improve or those things that I can do or desire to do or want to do have to be from that refuge of righteousness. If it's outside of that refuge of righteousness, now I'm working for God's approval, or I'm working for God's salvation, or I'm working to be good enough, or I'm working to be strong enough. You understand? None of that works. All of that is deception. It's all deception. Breastplate of righteousness. I am who I am because of what Jesus Christ did. I have what I have because of what Jesus Christ did. I'll have what I'll have in the future because of what Jesus Christ did. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's why it's to be strong in who?
The Lord.
Right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, or with all these things, taking the shield of believing. Wherewith? You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I have a little note here. Is that shield of the believing? Does anybody know? Well, okay. And take, verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all or every prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's part of this. That's part of being strong in the Lord. That praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's part of being strong in the Lord. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Isn't that something? So we're strong in Him. Let's close in 2 Timothy. You know, when this verse is really something because here, you know, Paul is aged by this point. Timothy's in a kind of somewhat of a hot mess in Asia. And Paul needed Timothy to bring him some things. Scriptures. So in light of those things, you read this verse, it's really something. And it's in verse 1 of chapter 2. And it reads, and King James reads, be strong. It says, therefore my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong in the what?
Grace.
The grace that is in Christ Jesus. The English version, English Standard Version reads, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're strengthened by that grace and we're strong in that grace. That grace in Christ Jesus is all that we are. Everything we have is because of that grace. See? That's what we're strong in. We're strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Eternal life, it's a gift. the power that is available to us via the manifestations of Spirit's a gift. Eternal life's a gift. The new bodies that we look forward to, it's a gift. Yeah. Forever being with the Lord's gift. It's grace. It's all grace. You did nothing for it. It's grace. Be strong in the grace that is in who?
Grace.
Right. If you're looking at yourself, it ain't grace. If you pat yourself on the back, it ain't grace. It can be subtle. You're concerned and all uptight about your walk. It ain't grace. Be strong in the what? In the grace. Isn't that something? We're strong in the Lord. We're strengthened by Christ. See? And we're strong in that grace. All that grace of God that He's made available in Jesus Christ to us. And all we do is believe on Him. See, that's what we're strong in. Strengthened. In strength. It's an inside thing. Isn't that something? So, that's every place that word's used. It's kind of neat, isn't it? So, Father, I want to thank You for Your word and how that You are faithful. For all that You've given us in Christ, all that we are, all that we have. And that, Father, we can be strong in Him, in what He's so graciously made available to us. Thank You, Father, that we can call Him brother. And we praise You and thank You in His name. Amen.